This is Once for All, where Jude 3 says, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. Listen in as the faith held by believers of all times is now delivered to you.
One of the things that we see going on in the world today is just a clash of views. So that one person would see something one way and another person would see something another way. How does one's Christian faith form his views, particularly as he looks at the world and looks at what's going on around him? One of the things that we want to do here on Once for All is look at some news items and say, how does a Christian understand this? What aspects of Christianity are involved in understanding this particular story, and what can that bring to light in view of our Christian faith? Thank you for tuning in to this edition of Once for All. We're coming to you live this Friday morning. Happy Friday, September the 30th. If you want to join in the conversation at any point during the broadcast, you can give us a call. 1-844-51-FAITH is the number, 1-844-51-FAITH. Or you can send us an email, get them right here in the studio, deliveredonceforall@gmail.com. deliveredonceforall@gmail.com is the email address. My guest for this next hour is Pastor Ben Siebert. He's pastor of St. John's Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Kansas. Pastor Siebert, welcome back to Once for All.
Thank you, Pastor Gagelin.
Tell us a little bit about St. John's in Lincoln, Kansas.
Well, things are going well. Harvest is going on right now with a lot of the crops, and beautiful weather right now. So,
now you're fairly new there in Lincoln, Kansas, and I think you're fairly close, if I'm not mistaken, to the geographic center of the Continental 48. Have you been to the exact center yet?
I haven't yet. No, I've been trying to get myself centered here in these last 33 months. Maybe I'll get out there sometime in the next year or so.
And I understand congratulations are in order with the news of your newest child on the way.
Yeah, so sometime in May I'll get to meet my second child. So.
Congratulations.
Lord willing. Yeah, thank you.
Well, we're going to take a look at some of the news items. The first one I have for you is a story from Town Hall that said, the headline reads, backlash against, quote, Catholics for Choice grows after group places ad demanding taxpayer funding of abortion. It says this, that on Wednesday, Cardinal Timothy Dolan, the chairman of the USCCB's Committee on Pro-Life Activists, issued a statement condemning the group, that is the group Catholics for Choice. Cardinal Dolan said that the use of the name Catholic to pronounce abortion is offensive and that they are in no way affiliated with the church. The Catholic Church has opposed abortion for roughly 2,000 years. So the story goes that this group that has formed themselves under the name Catholics for Choice places an ad in newspapers around the country, and they're saying that we should get rid of the Hyde Amendment, which restricts taxpayer funding of abortion. What's your take on this, Pastor Siebert, as you hear this story that there's a group that are calling themselves Catholics and they're saying we are for abortion?
Well, when a group claiming to be Catholic desires to do something that, as the bishop said, is contrary to their doctrine, now there's a disconnect. And in one sense, there's a disconnect already in this way. The Catholic, or what is properly called the Roman Catholic Church, already has a little bit of a disconnect with much of Christianity and the historic faith. In this way, they call themselves Catholic, which means universal, but they hold to some doctrines that aren't really in accord with the full teaching of Scripture as it is, and some church bodies call themselves the Christian Church, and it's kind of a bold thing to say in that regard anyway, but that's kind of a side point, but Here, as those who claim to be Roman Catholic hold to doctrines or teachings that are contrary to their church body, it's outside of Scripture. It's outside of where they're at, and it's really the old sinful flesh raising up its head and saying, "I want to determine what's right and wrong, and I'm not going to allow God's word. I'm not going to allow the teachings of the church to." To sway me one way or the other, it becomes like I said, the old Adam, wanting to look within rather than from the lips of God for what is good, right, and salutary.
The theological disagreements we have with the Roman Catholic Church, for all they are, on this particular issue, the issue of abortion and the matter of life in the womb, what's the Roman Catholic Church's track record on that issue?
Well, this is we're actually right on the same page as far as myself being a Missouri Synod Lutheran pastor and the Roman Catholic Church. We would say that. Amen. That life begins from conception. That life doesn't end until the Lord ends life, and everywhere in between, life should be protected. The Roman Catholic Church has been very faithful and staunch supporter of life being protected by the government, by advocates for who speak to the government about such things. This is an issue in which we can not only agree on, but we can even cooperate to work for the protection of life.
So they take out an ad that says Catholics support public funding for abortion, and it's called In Good Faith. Is the group, do you think, trying to use a little bit of a shock value by saying, Catholics support public funding for abortion, and in maybe some sense of the word, that's a true statement that they are Catholics and that they do, this little group, in fact, does support public funding for abortion, but that might be misconstrued to be understood that as if the Roman Catholic Church as a church body has made an official statement that they support public funding of abortion. Is this, at the very least, bringing a little confusion to the public?
Well, it certainly can bring confusion, anyone who pays attention to such issues would be quite aware of the fact that the Roman Catholic Church does not advocate for abortion. But anytime that there's somebody speaking a contrary note or singing a contrary note to what is already being spoken, this always is confusing. Whenever there's a false teaching or a false statement made, it does cause confusion. This is why Christ and the Scriptures tells us to flee from false teachers and those who advocate it, or those who abolish parts of the law. This is not a good thing. But on the other hand, there are times when things can be spoken unclearly, even by the church itself. And this then might add to the fact that if there's not clear teaching or clear speaking on this point, then when there is an alternate voice, that it can add to the confusion already there.
You mentioned earlier that you were a pastor in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. To maybe just kind of translate the instance here, if someone took out a full-page ad that says, LCMS Lutherans are for public funding of abortion, what would be your reaction to an article in a newspaper like that?
Well, I would probably want to write a letter to the editor saying, "No, we're not," in so many words. But it's... To speak clearly based upon what our practice has been and what our teaching has been, based upon the Scriptures, and the Scripture is very clear that life is a gift from God that begins from the time of conception, that this is a work of God, even a creation of God, and that this is something to be protected as a human being whose life does matter to God. And this is the importance that we place upon it. Those who speak contrary really have no place in Scripture to stand. Without turning and twisting the word or ignoring complete passages of Scripture. So I think in the end it stands on its own as far as the basis for our understanding as Christians, why it is that we advocate for this. Now, typically it's the social care issues that drive the appeal for abortion, but one life cannot be terminated at the expense of another, apart from a fifth commandment or the governing authorities having a good reason for justice stepping in and taking that life.
I mean, it seems like a group that would do such a thing, whatever organization or church body they'd be a part of, to say that we're a subgroup of the thing that we belong to, and we're going to depart from the positions of our organization and then proclaim that members of the organization believe contrary, it would make you wonder, well, why be a part of that organization in the first place then?
Yeah, it really does, and there are issues in my church body where there are some who are not on the same page on certain issues that claim that we believe the same things when we clearly don't. And you do wonder sometimes why someone doesn't just leave this church body. And there are many church bodies who are okay with abortion, and they're okay with these other issues, and you wonder why they just aren't honest and do that. But I think part of this is that the devil loves to sow discord within the church, and we'll never have an end of that on this side of eternity, on this side of Christ's return, I should say. This is part of living in a sinful world with the devil and his lies all around us.
Another article similar to that one is from Fox News. The headline reads, Federal Judge Blocks Arkansas Planned Parenthood Defunding. And a story out of Little Rock, Arkansas. A federal judge on Thursday temporarily prohibited Arkansas from blocking Medicaid payments to Planned Parenthood, expanding her order requiring the state to continue paying for services for three patients who had sued over the move. U.S. District Judge Christine Baker issued a preliminary injunction preventing Arkansas from suspending payments to Planned Parenthood for any services to Medicaid patients in the state. Republican Governor Asa Hutchinson said last year terminated the organization's Medicaid contract because of the secretly recorded videos made by an anti-abortion group. Baker last year had ordered the state to continue paying for the services for three women who sued over the defunding move, and Planned Parenthood asked her to expand that decision to cover any Medicaid patients who want to obtain health care services through the organization. The state has appealed that ruling covering the three patients to the 8th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. Baker ruled Thursday that any future Medicaid patients who seek services at Planned Parenthood would suffer irreparable harm if she didn't expand that order. She should, quote, should the court fail to issue injunction relief, members of the patient class will be denied their choice of provider for family planning services, she wrote, and Planned Parenthood praised the ruling. Okay, that's the story out of Little Rock, Arkansas. It seems like everybody's getting all bent out of shape about paying for abortions. Why is this the case, Pastor Siebert?
Well, this has certainly become an issue in the presidential campaign and I'm sure local campaigns as well with this Hyde Amendment. There's been a call to repeal this amendment, but it's actually not a bad thing to assure that money isn't being used to pay for abortions in this way. Government is something that God has established. Government doesn't always act righteously or correctly, and yet God who places the governing authorities, and he does this for good reason. He does this so that there would be protection for us, especially as the church, that the church would, not that the government would advocate the church, but that the church would be able to exist in relative peace, although there's an ebb and flow to that too. But the government is there to assure that justice is maintained. And when it comes to the topic of abortion, and now there's already been a lapse of good judgment on the part of our government's allowing for abortion, but to then advocate by federally funding such actions is certainly an act of injustice in this way. There's very little protection for the unborn infant, and it's for the federal government to, without cause, take a life. This would be federal funding for assassinations would be probably, especially if it was taking place in this country, would be an uproar. What is there a cause for the person to be killed? Here there's clearly no cause for the unborn child to be killed. Has yet to be able to commit an actual sin. Certainly has original sin, but the government doesn't regulate such things.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back with Pastor Siebert right after this. Don't go away.
The phone lines are now open. Call toll-free 1-844-51-FAITH. That's 1-844-51-FAITH.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute.
Operation Rescue, once known for blockading abortion facilities, now uses clever investigation and research of existing laws to close abortion mills and stop hack abortionists. As a result, its leaders, Troy Newman and Cheryl Sullinger, are hated by the abortion industry. Recently, a security camera caught a perpetrator bicycling up to their headquarters in the middle of the night. Lean a torch against the building and leave. It was likely meant for intimidation. Also, the lug nuts on a wheel of Troy's car were intentionally loosened. Thankfully, he was able to determine what was wrong before traveling at a higher speed. I'm not surprised an industry that kills babies would do this, but it shows they don't know Troy and Cheryl. This will do nothing but strengthen their resolve.
Follow us on Twitter at Life Issues USA and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
We dedicate today's Takedown Minute to Mrs. Maggie Carner as she battles with cancer and still gives bold witness to God's gift of life. Words of comfort from Martin Luther to Urban Regius give comfort to us in our illnesses. Luther writes, "We must support one another and be supported. Even so, Christ supports all of us from the beginning of the world unto the end. We cannot always be strong and healthy, nor always weak and infirm. Our condition depends upon Him who blows where He wills. By these ups and downs, He teaches us not to be arrogant, as we might be if we were always strong, and not to despair, as we might if we were always infirm. He knows our frame," said David. "He remembers that we are dust. We are best off when we ourselves acknowledge that we are framed of dust and are mere dust." Words of comfort from Martin Luther in today's Takedown Minute.
With the SRN News Business Brief, I'm Dennis Crowley. The governor of Puerto Rico is turning over the control of his government's finances to a federal control board. He's discussing what he considers priorities during a televised address to prepare the U.S. territory for a major change. Governor Alejandro Garcia Padilla is urging the board to protect the pensions of retired public workers and the jobs that have been created. Some of his other priorities include making sure that Puerto Rico receives equal benefits in the Medicare and Medicaid programs. A lost claims administrator handling the 2010 BP oil spill says he expects about $520 million in seafood industry claims to be paid in the Gulf of Mexico states as early as next month. And on Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average fell more than 195 points. With business, I'm Dennis Crowley.
Hey, welcome back to Once for All. We're talking about news items today. We are talking about, before the break, a federal judge who blocks an Arkansas Planned Parenthood defunding. And Pastor, we're talking with Pastor Ben Siebert. He's pastor of St. John Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Kansas. One of the things that I found ironic about the judge's order there was that it said that we can't rob patients of their health care choices. That's an interesting phrasing for the considering the services that Planned Parenthood provides.
It is. And while Planned Parenthood does provide some other services, the sort of the chief one that they especially defend and is kind of the bread and butter of their company is the abortion, and this is it is ironic, especially in view of how in the light of the Health Care Act, there are many people who can't keep their same doctors or can't have their same insurance because of though there is apparently assurances that the same health care choices would be available. Here's a case where now this is being defended, but in a, as you said, in a very ironic way, this health care, here are doctors who swear to do no harm. This is a place in which harm is being inflicted upon a young one.
Well, let's take a look at another story. I've got actually a local story that broadcasts on a local TV station, KOBI Channel 5, in Medford. And I want to play this and get your reaction. This clip is about 3 minutes long.
New tonight, an Ashland man says his wife's wishes are being ignored despite a legal document outlining the care she did and did not want while battling Alzheimer's disease.
Well, she and her family believed her wishes were clear in the document. It was contradictory to Oregon administrative rules for care facilities.
The issue ended up in Jackson County Circuit Court, where the judge ruled in favor of state law. But tonight, the family's fight is far from over.
The only thing living is her physical body. The Nora I knew and the brain of Nora is gone.
Bill and Nora Harris met in 1975. They married 2 years later and spent decades seeing the world and absorbing all the history and culture other countries had to offer. Bill describes Nora as the smartest woman he's ever met. That's why her diagnosis in 2009 of early onset Alzheimer's at the age of 56 came as such a blow.
Early onset moves faster than regular diagnosis, late. Diagnosis, and they estimated 4 to 10 years, and so she's about 7 years into it now.
Soon after the diagnosis, Bill and Nora began making plans, moving to Oregon because of its more reasonable cost of care facilities, and filling out an advance directive outlining her medical wishes. She and Bill thought it was clear.
The spirit of the advance directive was, let's not do anything to really prolong this process. No artificial feeding, no tubes, no parental feeding. And we took parental feeding to be like a parent and a two-year-old.
In 2013, Nora was placed in the memory care facility at Fern Gardens. She eventually stopped eating and lost weight to the point where she was placed in hospice care. Eventually, a state ombudsman stepped in, saying the facility was required under state law to provide feeding assistance, including supervision and use of proper utensil and assistive devices. Bill took the case to court this summer. The judge ruled in favor of the state law. A licensed attorney and expert witness on the case says the advance directive was broad in Bill's authority as healthcare representative, but specific in that she didn't want to prolong life.
He's talked about those conversations in court. His daughter talked about their daughter talked about those conversations in court. Longtime family friends talked about conversations in court that they had had with Nora over the years, and it all said the same thing. So it should have worked, and yet it didn't.
They basically sentenced her to experience the full gamut of Alzheimer's. They have not allowed her to gracefully end this process and to end it.
Bill could appeal, but it would be costly. And if Nora passed during the appeals process, the case would end. So now they want to make sure this doesn't happen to someone else.
The only avenue left was really to kind of go public to see if we could get the rules and the laws changed to basically abide by the assisted suicide rule, that if I'm rational and I'm competent and at the time I fill out my advanced directive, this is my wish, then it doesn't change just because I have dementia and cannot communicate for myself.
Experts recommend that on the advance directive, they attach additional documents that outline your wishes in as much detail as possible. They say recording a video of your wishes is just one more way to make sure they are fulfilled.
That story from KOBI Channel 5 in Medford. Pastor Siebert, with sensitivity to the difficult nature of what this family is going through, particularly for Nora, who's undergoing the difficult effects of Alzheimer's, what's your initial reaction to this story?
Well, as you said, my heart goes out to the family, especially Alzheimer's is a terrible disease. Although I say that, and every time I think there isn't really a nice disease, but Alzheimer's really is hard to watch someone undergo, especially for loved ones. But there is the other reaction I have is related to what we were talking about before about the care of life. That the gift of life that God has given, and that life is to be cared for until He brings life to an end, and there's certainly things that can be done in a good and caring way that by withholding some forms of treatment and that certainly can. Especially where the treatment causes discomfort in that, but the very basics of food and water are something that should be provided for the person that is undergoing the illness, whatever the illness may be, until the point when that too becomes. You know, there are times when that becomes causes greater harm than good, in which case. Life is certainly drawing very near to the end.
Yeah, there's almost two aspects of the story. The one and the more important one is the one that you're discussing now. The other one is the matter of setting forth an advance directive that you think is clear, and then when the time for that directive comes to be executed, it's actually not being carried out the way that you thought. I mean, that's a big blow to someone. However, as you said, that in this case, the directive is being executed in a way that would be protecting life more than the individual's willed on their directive. And you brought up the matter of food. It's interesting to me that the wishes placed on the advance directive was to take away food. To be the agent that ends the suffering. Is that something different than a disease that would take my life, but that we're wanting to end the suffering of the disease, and the way to do that is to stop feeding?
Yeah, well, and this is related as the story unfolded that moving to Oregon was yes the lower. Cost of health care, apparently, but here the ability to take one's own life, it was also seems to be in view, and this is always sin. To take one's own life is no different. As far as you shall not murder, the Lord's commandment here protecting life. That's not just for others; it's also for yourself. And we undergo many many sufferings in life, and these things are certainly not pleasant to go through. But the Lord doesn't permit us to end our suffering by taking our life or taking someone else's life. It is the Lord who is merciful, and we can't. Supersede that by thinking that we're being more merciful than our Lord in this way. We don't see why He allows such suffering, but He promises that it is just and good that He is working, justice and good that He's working in all these things. very often, I mean, the wonderful opportunity to provide the continued care for a loved one and show that love that was probably shown to you in the former years here now at the end of life is a wonderful opportunity to show that love and suffer along their side and to be there and to actually show the love that God shows for us in Christ Jesus and his suffering and dying. Taking on that role is a blessed thing.
Yeah, that struck me as the husband was speaking there towards the end. He said that this decision from the Jackson County Court is making her bear the full effects of Alzheimer's and not allowing her to gracefully end this suffering. Is there a bit of a wordplay when this is brought to the political sphere, where something like euthanasia is talk about, you know, a mercy killing, or you know, even that is a little bit too brash. So you hear things like dying with dignity, kind of a thing. Is that an attempt to kind of distract? Is it a bit of a red herring to the issue that we're still ignoring the matter of life, and life is to be ended really by God, not by our own choosing?
Yeah, and it is. I mean, death is. I mean, having been around death a number of times, death is never a dignified thing. Death is not what God intended for his creation. This was brought into the world by sin, the fall into sin of Adam and Eve, and it's never a dignified thing. This is what Jesus did, and this was probably the least dignified death that you could have, hanging naked outside the city on a cross in terrible agony. And death is not meant to be dignified, but death is, it is the wages of sin, but it's also in Christ and his work. He makes death, which is our greatest enemy, into a portal to everlasting life. The fact that there is suffering in this life is a result of the sinful man, and that's the reality. How do we get around death? It is not by how do you get around the suffering is not by deciding when to end it, but rather this is the mercy of God in that through faith in Christ Jesus he brings his favor he brings the joy and a peace that surpasses all understanding.
Not too long ago, there was a survey asked of people who desired euthanasia, the reason why they wanted to be euthanized, or why the family was pursuing the option of euthanasia. And at the bottom of the list were things like, you know, the cost of continued care, or, you know, wanting to, you know, this kind of fear of pain and death, or the fear of suffering, etc. But the top two, I'm going to give you number two, and then I'll give you number one. Number two is that they did not want to be a burden to others. Would you talk about that as a reason for euthanasia?
Well, not wanting to be a burden, I guess I can understand that myself, because I like to be self-sufficient and I like to do things on my own. Probably ever since I was two years old and I said, no, I want to pick up my clothes, or I want to get dressed myself. This is sort of part of who we are as human beings. We do want to be self-sufficient and not have to rely on others. But part of showing love and part of receiving love is actually allowing others to do things for us. So when I was 2 years old, my mother got to show her love for me in that she did pick out my clothes and help me get dressed and prepared meals for me. It's almost then able to as I get older, and now I'm married, it's not easy to allow someone to do things for you all the time. And it's not easy to allow someone to love you. But our selfish and sinful pride wants to, this is original sin again, copying its head, wants to do it my way. I want to say what's right and wrong, and I want to be God of my life. So not wanting to be a burden, I can understand the care there, but allowing yourself to be a burden, to be loved and cared for, is really what love is. It doesn't expect something back. It just gives. And it's a wonderful opportunity to do such a thing. You know, as I grew older and was able to give gifts to my parents or do things for them, this is a time when I can show the love that they showed me.
What's the number one reason for euthanasia? Well, we'll find out after this break. And then also after the break, we're going to be talking about the matter of Scott Keith. He was the one who in Charlotte, North Carolina, was killed by police in use of lethal force. And we'll be talking about all the outrage that has caused in North Carolina and across the nation. All that after this. We'll be right back. You're listening to Once for All.
The phone lines are now open. Call toll-free 1-844-51-FAITH. That's 1-844-51-FAITH.
And now it's time for Table Talk Extras with Pastor Brian Wolfmuller.
What's the most dangerous thing in the world? What do we have to beware of? What do we have to watch out for? Is it sharks or snakes or bears? Islamic terrorists or communist dictators? What is it? What are we to be afraid of? What are we to watch out for? What are we to be on guard? When the word beware is used in the scriptures, it is most often used about false teachers. That's what Jesus says. He says in the Sermon on the Mount, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. Inwardly, they're ravenous wolves, starving. They'll do anything they can to find something to devour. Beware of these, Jesus says, because false prophets which come with a false teaching and a false Christ don't just kill our bodies, but also kill our souls. Again, Jesus says, watch and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. That's Matthew 16. Paul says the same thing, beware that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ, Colossians 2. And St. Peter chimes in too, beware. You therefore, beloved, seeing that you know these things, beware that you also, being led astray with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, 2 Peter 3. The scriptures warn us to beware, to be on guard, to watch out, to not be deceived or tricked by false teaching. Because if we lose the teaching of Christ, the truth of the gospel, we lose our eternal life. Therefore, beware of false prophets, but cling to the truth of Christ.
This has been a production of Table Talk Radio. For more information, visit tabletalkradio.org.
With SRN Sports, I'm Michael Harrington. We'll start with NFL Thursday Night Football and the Bengals. Receiver A.J. Green caught 10 for 173 yards and a touchdown. And Cincinnati's defense clamped down on the Miami Dolphins for a 22-7 victory. The 2-2 Bengals rebound from a 29-17 home loss to Denver on Sunday. Still, Bengals quarterback Andy Dalton says they have to score more touchdowns when they're in the red zone.
We got to score touchdowns when we get down there. We can't keep kicking field goals. And so we'll look at it. We'll look at the tape. We'll look at what we're doing and try to find a way to score touchdowns rather than settling for 3 points.
Suspended Browns receiver Josh Gordon says he's entering a rehab facility to, quote, gain full control of my life. Gordon is serving a 4-game suspension for multiple violations of the NFL's substance abuse policy. He was eligible to return next week, but the troubled 25-year-old says he won't. This is SRN Sports. AP Top 25 College Football Thursday night, Greg Ward Jr. threw for a career-high 389 yards and accounted for 5 touchdowns to help number 6 Houston beat Connecticut 42-14. Major League Baseball yesterday. In the American League, the Yankees beat Boston 5-1, but were eliminated from playoff contention. It was the Orioles over Toronto 4-0. The O's and the Jays are tied now for the wild card. Minnesota over Kansas City 7-6. Tampa Bay 5. White Sox 3. Seattle got the better of Oakland 3-2. The Tigers and Indians were rained out. In the National League, it was the Cubs and Pittsburgh playing to a 1-1 tie in 6 innings due to rain. The game will not be completed because it does does not affect the playoffs. Your other winners, Nationals, Atlanta, the Dodgers, the Giants, and the Cardinals. The Giants and the Cards are one game behind the Mets now, who are idle, playing for the wild card with three games to play. With SRN Sports, I'm Michael Harrington.
Welcome back to Once for All. We're taking a look at some news items, talking about the matter of life today. And on the line is Pastor Ben Siebert. He's pastor of St. John Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Kansas. All right, we're talking about the top reasons that those who pursue euthanasia do so. And the number one reason why a patient said they want to be euthanized is that they want to be in control of when they die. That dying with dignity was not letting the disease, the cancer or whatever, take them. It was saying that I'm going to die on my terms. Now, Pastor Siebert, what do you think about that reason for pursuing euthanasia?
Well, it's a similar, well, the root is the same as the previous answer. It's wanting to control things, and this is where we are as human beings. We think, well, we want to be God. We have the illusion, and very often we play up that illusion that we are in control of our life in various ways. We have savings accounts and insurance and these things to assure us of a fine future, and that we can control our lifestyle and this. But really, it just takes a hurricane blowing up the coast and your house is gone to realize that you don't have control. There's other disasters besides disease and illness that can strike us at any time. It is by God's mercy that such things aren't happening to us every day. But this, in its root, it's wanting to play God, and I will determine as though I am my own, and that I don't have a creator. So certainly for the Christian, such a notion is out of the question, sinful and wrong. It's still sin for the unbeliever, but here there's just no understanding of the fact that there's a creator and that I am his creature. And I guess that's about all that you can say to that topic as far as where it's coming from.
It's hunting season, and the black male is the prey. And something has to be done.
Community activists are calling for a boycott of businesses rather than unrest in Charlotte, North Carolina, to protest a deadly police shooting of a black man Tuesday afternoon. That shooting led to violent protests overnight. It all started late Tuesday afternoon at an apartment complex. Police were looking for a suspect who had a warrant for his arrest. Police say a man, not the one they were searching for, got out of his car and was holding a gun. North Carolina is an open carry state.
The officers felt a lethal threat and fired his weapon because of that.
That man, Keith Lamont Scott, was pronounced dead at a local hospital. Police said Wednesday morning they recovered a gun from the scene, contradicting what Scott's family and friends said.
Read the book, wait for his kid to come home. Cops shot him for nothing.
Police said they didn't find a book at the scene. The officer who shot the man is identified as Brentley Vinson. He is also black. He was not wearing a body camera, though police said they do have video of the shooting. Dozens of protesters gathered on the streets and brought a major highway to a standstill Tuesday night. Some threw rocks and bottles, jumped on police cars, and set fires. Aerial footage of the scene showed some demonstrators taking packages off of semi-trucks and throwing them into a fire. Several protesters and police officers were injured, and some even needed to be hospitalized. For Newsy, I'm Lauren Stevenson.
That was one of the original reports that broke as the whole story with the police shooting in Charlotte, North Carolina came out. And a lot has been revealed since that report. And Pastor Siebert, I'm not sure how much you've been following the story, but again, I'd like to just maybe get your initial reaction to all of this going on with police and claims of racial discrimination and all of this going on.
Well, I guess it's the same reaction as I had before with the other. It's tragic. This is it's not a good thing that there's such violence, and either impression or the reality of racial prejudice is certainly not a good thing. The uprising against the law and order is not a good thing. It's just very sad.
Now, I want to try and consider this matter in light of the fifth commandment. Now, it's maybe not given to us as as I sit in the state of Oregon, you sit in the state of Kansas, to be making judgments on this case to which we don't have, the evidence before us. All of us can watch the news and form our opinions and whatnot. But I suppose we should leave that to investigators and the Department of Justice, et cetera. But I'm just kind of thinking about this in terms of the Fifth Commandment. How do we think about the Fifth Commandment, you shall not murder, when it comes to police officers or even soldiers or this kind of a thing?
Yeah, and that's important that we the right translation of that is you shall not murder, not you shall not kill. Very often those are going to be on the same. For me, for instance, that's going to be on the same line because I have no authority whatsoever to take someone's life. The fifth commandment, you shall not murder, is related to it's related to homicide for certain, but also negligence and such things. When it comes to taking life, there is the fourth commandment that shows us that God has instituted authority. He has instituted the government to protect the citizens and to ensure justice occurs. So while it is sin to for most people to take life, there are certain individuals in certain offices who are actually given to in certain instances to take life. So a judge is not committing murder when he sentences a criminal according to the laws of the land to the death penalty for crimes committed, and it's in the line of duty an officer. Assuming that it's not done out of any kind of malice or hatred, is not breaking that fifth commandment when he takes the life of a person who is about to do harm to someone else or himself as an officer.
So, I mean, this is maybe partly a discussion of the fifth commandment, you shall not murder, but I think it's also a discussion of the fourth commandment that that you should honor father and mother, and I'm going to have you explain the connection, because that maybe at first doesn't sound relevant.
Right, yeah. My father and mother aren't governors or judges or in any kind of law enforcement capacity, and yet that commandment is speaking about authority that God has given. And certainly in other places in Scripture, apart from the Ten Commandments, the Lord does command us to obey those who are in authority. And it's interesting, Paul writes this at a time when those in authority were hostile to the church. So it has nothing to do with obey those in authority because they're really nice people. No, it's obey those in authority because God has put them there. And the same way that I obey my parents because God has put them there as my parents and given them to me. And so I obey them as even the Lord himself, so long as there's not a command from the government that is contrary to the teaching of God. So if the government said you can't be a Christian anymore, well then I have to disobey that command because the Lord tells me I should hear his word and obey and trust and fear, love, and trust in him above all things.
There There was another case, I think, in Tulsa, Oklahoma, that seems to be a little bit more clear cut. And again, I don't want to step into the vocation of juror that I haven't been given. But in an instance where a suspect is no threat whatsoever and doesn't have a weapon and is being completely compliant, and yet an officer uses lethal force. Let's maybe even just kind of talk about that hypothetically, not applicable to any case.
Right.
In that hypothetical situation, how are we to understand a police officer who uses lethal force when lethal force is not justified?
Yeah, and in this situation, then, while the office of police officer is one which does have that role of the ability to use lethal force, as you mentioned, there are constraints. So there are times in which it's not to be used, and then they need to be held accountable to that. This is why we do have an order and a rule of law in our land. In a similar way, it's like, is it wrong for me? I mean, my son's far too young for me to have him stand in the corner. You know, I'd have to prop him up right now. But is it wrong for me to have my son stand in the corner? Well, no. But if I'm sending him to the corner all the time, it starts to become a bit of child abuse. If there's no reason for it, if there's no cause for it, if there's not something that I'm trying to teach him by such a punishment. In the same way, a police officer, while they have the ability to use lethal force, does not have a carte blanche to use it when and where they will, according to their own desires. They are being a servant to the people, and need to be using their office in accord with that service.
So, and maybe then to talk about another form of the Fourth Commandment, that the government does have the obligation then to look at these cases, look at the evidence therein, and where a police officer has acted outside the bounds of his authority, then that officer would be treated as any other criminal, any other murderer, if it is shown that he or she has done so outside the confines of their authority.
Yeah, and that's good, right, and proper that would take place. That they would be probably, I mean, depending on the degree of the wrong, probably removed from that office even, and as you said, then treated as any other person wielding a gun would be treated.
Well, we have been talking with Pastor Ben Siebert. He's pastor of St. John Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Kansas. Pastor Siebert, it's great to have you on, and thank you for spending the time with us.
Thank you, Pastor Gaylor.
Well, what do you think? You know, we broadcast live in the mornings, and sometimes you don't get to catch the morning broadcast. Sometimes you're listening to this at a later broadcast during the rebroadcast, or sometimes you're listening on the internet. You don't get a chance to call in and put in your two cents. But don't worry, you can still do so. That toll-free number, 1-844-51-FAITH, is ready to receive your voicemail call. So just give us a call, 1-844-51-FAITH. Leave a message about what you think, or you can send us an email, deliveredonceforall@gmail.com, and we can respond to your comments on a future broadcast, and we would love to do so. Don't forget to check out our website, onceforallradio.com. Onceforallradio.com, there's an archive of all of our past shows, and you can take a look at the ones that interest you. Again, onceforallradio.com. Thanks for tuning in to today's broadcast. We have a wonderful weekend. We'll talk to you again next week on Once for All.
This has been Once for All. You can contact the show by sending an email, deliveredonceforall@gmail.com. You can listen again to this show or any other episodes by visiting onceforallradio.com. Until next time, stand firm in the faith, once delivered to the saints.